بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا من فضلك علما وتعليما إنك على كل شيء قدير وبعد الحمد لله. This is lesson 25 of our readings from Al-Hikam Al-Ata'iyya of Imam Ibn Ata'illah As-Sakandari Rahimahullah Ta'ala. And tonight, inshallah, we cover a couple of hikmas put together further on in the text where Imam Ibn Ata'illah says, جَلَّ رَبُّنَا أَن يُعَامِلَهُ الْعَبْدِ نَقْدًا فَيُجَازِيهِ نَسِيئَةً كَفَى مِنْ جَزَائِهِ إِيَّاكَ عَلَى الطَّاعَةِ أَنْ رَضِيَكَ لَهَا أَهْلًا كفى العاملين جزاء ما هو فاتحه على قلوبهم في طاعته وما هو مورده عليهم من وجود مؤانسته. He says, far be it for our Lord to recompense with credit the servant who deals with him in cash. Suffice it as a recompense for to you for obedience that he has judged you worthy of obedience. It suffices as a reward for the doers of good that he has inspired obedience to him in their hearts and brought upon them his reciprocal intimacy. So this is a couple of hikmas put together. And in this section within the hikmah, he's talking about the understanding we should have as Muslims with regards to our good deeds, with regards to obedience to him, and how these things factor vis-a-vis the divine rewards, the jaza or the ajr. Now, if the eye of Tawheed sees that everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that everything in the cosmos is his khalq, his creation, that includes our good deeds. That means that even our good deeds are his creation, and they are in the cosmos, they are his act. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirms this in the Quran when he says, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah created you and what you do. So seeing with the eye of Tawheed, we understand that the acts of worship that we do, whether they are praying or fasting or giving charity or however we may act well towards other people, anything that constitutes an act of ibadah or obedience, ta'ah, is the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. And just as we use the worldly means while trusting in Allah ta'ala and knowing that everything is his creation and under his control, we likewise do good deeds and obedience, recognizing that these two are from the asbab, the secondary causes. When you are hungry and when you are thirsty, you recognize that the one who created that in you is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has legislated for you to use certain secondary causes, asbab, to alleviate those feelings. So you eat and you drink, while recognizing that the food and drink are the creation of Allah Ta'ala, and that Allah quenches your thirst in conjunction with the drinking, not by the drinking as a tool. But you use the asbab. The same thing applies to ibadah. The same thing applies to ta'ah, acts of obedience. Because the acts of obedience are the creation of God, we recognize they are means to His mercy and His ridwan. They themselves do not do anything. They themselves have no independent power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not admit people into Jannah except out of His rahmah and fadl. In many places in the Quran, as we've heard, Allah mentions Him addressing the believers, saying, "Enter Jannah, udkhulul Jannah, bima kuntum ta'amadun, due to what you used to do." And the ba here is ba sababiyya, the ba of cause. So we recognize that there's cause and effect in worldly matters and cause and effect in afterworldly matters. So the actions are means, and we don't rely on the means. We rely on the creator of the means. So that's the simple message of Ibn Ata'illah. But looking at how the reward of Allah Ta'ala is not just for the hereafter, but there's also reward in this life. So in a very simple way of explaining it, what Ibn Ata'illah is saying is that you shouldn't think that you're only going to receive ajr, rewards for your obedience, in the hereafter. No, there is even reward to be experienced in this world. And he describes the acts of the servant as being like cash. And he uses the term cash versus credit and says, going back to the hikmah, جَلَّ رَبُّنَا أَن يُعَامِلَهُ الْعَبْدِ نَقْدًا. Far be it for our Lord to recompense with credit the servant who deals with him in cash. So cash is the here and now. The divine, the worship of Allah Ta'ala, the acts of obedience that you do here and now, that's like cash. Is it so that you only receive the reward on credit? That all your good actions are receiving IOUs for the future that you don't experience in this life? So that you can say after Ramadan, after all of your fasting and your qiyam and tilawa, you have nothing to show for it in terms of reward, and that it's all in the hereafter? There's nothing whatsoever. This is what Ibn Ata'illah is correcting. He's saying, don't think that Allah is dealing with you with credit while you deal with Him in cash. But the deeper meaning here is, who gave you the cash in the first place? We'll come back to that. So he's saying, you receive from Allah Ta'ala rewards in this life, just as you receive rewards from Allah Ta'ala in the hereafter. Now, we don't receive all of the rewards in the here and now. There's some that are given here, some that are given in the hereafter. Now, going to the commentaries, we see that Shaykh Ahmad Zarruq, rahimahullah, says that for the mu'min who believes that whatever obedience they do, they receive a reward, that anticipation and excitement for receiving the divine reward is itself a reward. So that feeling of joy, that feeling of excitement and anticipation of receiving good from Allah in the future, in the hereafter, is itself its own reward. And you see this in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, the hadith we've been reading time and time again this month. مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَإِحْتِسَابًا. Whoever fasts Ramadan out of iman and ihtisab. What is ihtisab? Ihtisab is to anticipate a reward, to be hopefully expectant of a reward, to receive the grace of Allah. So Shaykh Ahmad Zarruq says that that anticipation you have for reward, that feeling of joy and that good opinion of Allah that He will bless you and increase you in the hereafter due to what He's gifted you already of ta'a, that itself is its own reward. Allah is Kareem, and His promise is also Kareem. And this is how we understand what we receive here and what we receive in the hereafter. Shaykh Ahmad Zarruq mentions that the nature of the dunya, the nature of the lower world, is such that the generous reward in store for the believers from Allah is too great to be given in full in this world, because the nature of the world itself does not correspond to the greatness of the reward that is in store. Meaning the world is so low and paltry and minuscule and ephemeral that the reward that Allah Ta'ala has in store for those who believe in Him and worship Him sincerely, it's too great. It wouldn't even correspond to the nature of the world. So it is in the hereafter, inevitably. Nevertheless, he says, we as human beings do have needs. We have physical needs and we have spiritual needs in this world. And for this reason, Allah gives certain rewards in the here and now and certain rewards that are saved up in the hereafter. This is why Ibn Ata'illah says right after the first sentence, suffice it as a reward for your obedience that He, Allah, has judged you worthy of obedience. That's a reward in itself, to recognize that Allah Ta'ala saw fit to make you the recipient of the gift of whatever act of worship was carried out. Allah made you as such the receptacle, the ala, the person carrying out that act of obedience. The fact that Allah saw fit to bless you with that is itself a reward. So this is a matter of perspective. Allah Ta'ala has created everything, including our actions. And the ideal state to be in is as one who recognizes that their good deeds, we say their good deeds or my good deed, my ta'a, my ibadah, your ibadah, these are all nisab, they're all ascriptions, ascribed to you, ascribed to me, but they're ascribed to us, but they're gifts, right? If someone gives you a gift of a nice SUV, they hand you the keys. After you receive the keys, you can then say, this is my SUV. It's your SUV for sure, because it's now ascribed to you. That doesn't take away the fact that it was a gift, right? So the acts of worship that Allah has blessed us with are divine gifts. So one of the rewards is simply the recognition that Allah Ta'ala has chosen us to be the receptacle of those divine gifts, of worship, right? Our nature is one of weakness and neediness and intrinsic poverty, and we incline to deficiency. So despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed to create these good deeds and give us the tawfiq to do them, and even ascribe them to us and give us reward for them, even though we have no independent power to do any of them. So just that recognition of reality is itself a kind of reward, because Allah Ta'ala does not have to give us anything. No one should have the attitude, oh, I fasted Ramadan, I did this, I did that, where's my ajr? I demand it now, and I want it just this way and that way. No one has the right to make these demands. It is all karam, it's all generosity from the Kareem. Allah Ta'ala mentions in so many places in the Quran that were it not for His fadl, His grace, we would be lost. لَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ لَاتَّبَعْتُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Were it not for the grace and mercy of Allah, all but few of you would follow shaitan. لَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. Were it not for Allah's grace, none of you would have been purified. So we have to understand that obedience to Allah Ta'ala is itself a blessing and a gift and a reward in its own right, as it is a means of having uns, of intimacy and connection with the divine. This is why Ibn Ata'illah says in the third sentence, it suffices as a reward for the doers of good that he has inspired obedience to him in their hearts and brought upon them the existence of his reciprocal intimacy. Sheikh Ahmad Zarruq and others say that there's actually three rewards in play. When you think about acts of worship, there is a reward you receive even before the action, and that is in the form of tawfiq, in the form of enabling grace, the ability to do that thing. That's the first reward, the inspiration to do it in the first place. That itself is its own reward. The second, they say, is the reward after the act, which is the feeling of joy, of hopefulness, of expansion of the heart, as well as the determination to do it again and again, the intention to do so. This is its own reward. And third, they mention the reward in the hereafter. And the reward in the hereafter, we said, is so great that it cannot even be given fully in this world, because it's so great it does not correspond to the nature of the dunya, which is low and base by its very nature in the way Allah Ta'ala created it. Now this is I think a worthwhile reflection in as we come to the end of Ramadan, to look at the nature of what Allah has created within us of ta'a, of obedience. Whether it is prayer, whether it is fasting, whether it is sadaqah, whether it is zakat, whether it is saying nice things, whether it is kindness towards parents, whatever it may be, anything that constitutes obedience to Allah Ta'ala, this is a worthwhile reflection, because we always want to seek the balance between fear and hope, and hope in Allah accepting our actions while also being worried that maybe they're not accepted. We always want to have a balance, but generally speaking, in this day and age, the predominant state one should aim for is husna dhan billah, having a good opinion of Allah and a hopeful expectation that Allah Ta'ala will not turn us away empty-handed. As we are nearing the end of Ramadan, many of us are understandably tired, worn out and fatigued. But consider this. We are now at, what day is this? 29th. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala could have had you anywhere else but here. In Ramadan, for Muslims, there's only a couple of situations you need to be in. Either you're in the masjid each night, or you're at home with family, doing something with the family in ibadah, or you're alone in devotions. To be anywhere else, unless it's an absolute need, you don't want to be there. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala could have had us anywhere else besides these places. Allah Ta'ala could have had us God knows where, in places of haram, in places of disobedience. So instead of that, He chose us. And He chose us not because of any inherent virtue and excellence that we have, because whatever we have is from Him. It is because of His grace. It's not because you did anything to deserve it. It's because Allah chose you and preferred you and gifted you. It's all His mercy, His grace, His blessings. Nothing is credited to us. It's all from Him. And this is the way we have to look at things. To witness our acts of obedience as the acts of God gifted to us, who in turn gifts us the rewards for them. He's far too generous to give us credit for what we give in cash, to use the language of Ibn Ata'illah. He gave us cash, metaphorically speaking, and asks us to spend it. And He gives us here far more than what we give, and He gives us in the hereafter. Now we see this in the Quran, in the 9th chapter. Allah Ta'ala mentions this purchasing, this trade or commerce. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Verily Allah has purchased from the believers their lives and their wealth in return that for them is Jannah. This ayah is worthy of reflection because, as we said earlier, the life that we have is from Allah. The wealth that we have is from Allah. Whatever we have is from Allah. So Allah has already given us life, has already given us wealth, given us health, and yet He says that He has purchased from the believers these things. Right? So imagine someone, going back to the SUV analogy, someone gives you the keys to a brand new SUV, and they give it to you, they don't charge you any money, they just put it in your hand, and you have the title, everything. And then moments later they say, I'm going to buy this SUV from you and I'm going to give you $10 million. Okay, who gave you the SUV in the first place? The one who gave you the SUV is now saying they're going to purchase it back from you for 20 times its value. So Allah is telling us in the Quran that He who gave us our souls and gave us the wealth and everything else has purchased from us the very thing He's given us. In return that we have Jannah, which is another thing that He created as a reward. So whether you're here or there, wherever you turn in your interaction with Allah, it's all from Allah and to Allah and by Allah out of His generosity. So we have to get out of this the calculator mindset of thinking that this is all mine, and I calculate. No, you have to see the good that Allah gives you as a divine gift. You ask Allah to accept it from you. So on one hand, it is your action. It's ascribed to you. You do it. You have the acquisition of the action. But it is Allah Ta'ala who blessed you to do it, who gave you the tawfiq to do it, and who rewards you for it. And so you see a gift in the very beginning, that it was given to you by Him in the beginning, and He gives you on account of it at the end. And He gives you in this life and gives you far more in the hereafter. So wherever you're turning, you see the karam, the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.